Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Euro Today, with your presenters for this week, Ava Rutzel and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on this evening's programme, Ava will be finding out what it's like to be a Spanish au pair living here in Dublin. I'll be speaking to the wonderful Sabina Griffiths, spokesperson for the ITER project in southern France. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that have made the headlines in Europe, and we'll have some great music from France and Greece for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. More Irish people are using psychoactive drugs or legal highs than any other nationality in the European Union. A new report out recently from the EU's Drug Monitoring Centre shows that 9% of people surveyed in Ireland have used such substances. That puts us ahead of France and Spain on 8% and Slovenia on 7%. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the report also shows that there are strong links between Irish criminal gangs and South American drug cartels.
Well, it shows that Irish organised crime has strong links to the drug cartels in South America, particularly since the Colombian drug gang seems to have broken up. And there's a strong presence of Irish criminal gangs in Spain who do business with these people.
The European Commission is calling on people in the marine sector to access grants for jobs creation and innovation. It is making over €7.5 million available for consortia who submit successful proposals. The money is being made available under the European Maritime and Fisheries Fund. Ruth Deasy of the EU Commission Office in Dublin says these grants will help to make Europe the number one continent for developing what's known as the blue economy.
The Commission is convinced that Europe can become a world leader in blue growth, as it's called. So it's all the new technology for breaking down waste at sea, for all the kind of research that shows the potential of the sea. And so this is a series of grants, and groups of universities or local authorities can get together and pitch for the money.
Ireland recorded the seventh highest fall in traffic fatalities in the European Union in the period 2010 to 2015. Figures published recently by the European Commission show that the rate of road deaths fell by 22% for the period. 166 people died on Irish roads in 2015. That's 27 less than the number of who died in 2014. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the figures show that two categories of males are particularly vulnerable to fatal road accidents.
You can see that the highest number of people who die in car crashes are men, and particularly young men. And the other people who are most at risk are the over 66 age group.
Recently, EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini met up with Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed, UN Special Envoy for Yemen. Here's a brief extract from the press statement which followed that meeting.
As a concrete contribution to crucial confidence-building measures, the European Union has been able to quickly mobilize technical support to the UN Special Envoy. On the 10th of April, as you know, there should be a cessation of hostilities and a committee for de-escalation and coordination, which will be staffed by the two sides. The committee will do all that it can to ensure that over time this will lead to a ceasefire. And currently, it is the European Union that is working to the preparations for the committee to be ready to perform its tasks with the support of international military experts that we have mobilized through our mediation unit. In spite of slightly improved access for aid, still 80% of the population is in need of substantial support. And there are legitimate fears that the crisis will have long-term effects beyond the current generation, and that a big part of the Yemeni society will be affected for a long time on this. And in Yemen, just as much as in the whole region, we cannot afford to lose an entire generation or generations to war and despair. All the humanitarian aid that the international community will be able to mobilize will be needed by Yemen. Still, Yemen's long-standing problems cannot be solved with humanitarian aid alone. Yemen needs peace and stability so that a genuine reconstruction and development process can truly kick off. Reconstruction will be the next challenge, and we discuss this also at length.
pour un flirt avec toi. Je serai prête à tout pour un simple rendez-vous, pour un flirt avec toi. Pour un petit tour, un petit jour entre tes bras. Pour un petit tour, au petit jour entre tes draps.
Hi, this is Eva Rützel for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Today I talk to Estela Torres, a Spanish girl who works as an au pair here in Dublin. Hi Estela, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Let us talk about your organization. How did you organize your au pair job here?
Well, I decided to be au pair and to look for a family. I look for on the internet to contact with family that need one au pair.
Oh, nice, yeah. And can you recommend the website to other young people? Is it a good website?
Yeah, but sometimes it's difficult because you have to look for a family that have what you want, because you have to look if you want one children or more and how many hours you have to work. So you have to meet family before or contact with them.
Okay, yes. And did you have problems to discover what you were looking for, or did you have a wide choice of potential families where you could choose one?
Not really. There are a lot of families looking for au pairs here in Ireland, so it was easy to find them. But the problem that sometimes you have to be patient waiting if they answer you or not, so you have to apply for some family, not just one.
What duties do you have in your family, and what can you tell us about your daily routine there?
Well, my daily routine is about I have to bring the children to school, and then I have to collect them. I have to drive here in Ireland. What it's now it's fine, but the beginning was a bit hard because, you know, they drive in the other side, different from my country.
Strange.
Yeah. But it's fine. Children sometimes can be difficult, but when they are used to you, it's easier. And then we have to do homework, prepare dinner, and that's what I have to do, the family.
Okay, so you are busy the whole day?
Yeah, I start in the morning until in afternoon when the parents come back from the work.
Okay, and what do you like about your job, and why did you decide to do an au pair here?
I decided to be au pair because I wanted to improve my English, and I think it's a good option because you have accommodation and food and you don't have to pay for that.
Oh, brilliant.
You have to work a lot because it's not easy to my children. You know, they can be a bit wild sometimes, but they can be very nice and you can learn from them.
Yeah. You're far away from Spain, and how do you handle with this situation?
Well, I think it's easier now because the beginning was very hard. You know, you miss your family, your friends. Yeah, you're in another country with different language and you are completely scared. You feel lonely, but once you start to keep in better, I don't know how to explain that. Now it's fine, no, because you can keep in touch with your family. You have WhatsApp or Skype.
Okay, yes, yeah. So it's not so difficult. And so you met also nice friends here.
Yeah, at the beginning it was hard because I didn't meet people until the first month. I was completely lonely in the country, but when I started the lesson, my English lesson, I met friends there. They were in the same situation as me. They were a lot of au pairs.
Yes.
Too, and so we could talk about our jobs because we understand each other.
Yes, all right, okay. Why did you decide for Dublin? That's also interesting.
Actually, Dublin, it wasn't my option. It was just because the family that answered me was from Ireland. But
okay,
what I wanted was to learn English, so I didn't really care which country to go. I just wanted to learn English.
Okay, so you search for different families and different English-speaking countries.
Yeah, now I'm happy that the family is from here because I like the city.
Oh, that's cool. Was it difficult for you to adapt to the different culture here? Is it very different from Spain?
Yeah, the most difficult was to adapt for the timetable or the food.
Oh, okay.
That's quite different. And the beginning was crazy because I was, okay, I'm hungry all the time, I don't know. It was horrible, but now I'm fine.
Okay, they had a different daily routine, so.
Yeah, they for lunch, they just have sandwich, and in Spain we have a large lunch and large dinner, and it was hard.
Okay. And what are the main differences between the land Ireland and the land Spain?
Well, I think the food, of course.
Yeah, it's like that.
I think one of the things that I most miss is the food. Spanish food, it's beautiful. And the weather.
Yes, of course, there is always weather. A problem.
Yeah, it's crazy. You never know if it's going to rain or not. You can't plan anything.
Right.
Because maybe you want to do a barbecue for the weekend, but in the weekend it's raining and it's in a few minutes it's sunny, then it's raining again.
Terrible. And how long will you still stay here?
I have been for 8 months now, but I'm going to come back on July. So I'm going to be here for 1 year.
Nice experience.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So thank you for the interview. And thank you for joining Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Over the last few years, scientists from all across the world have come together in the south of France to work on the most amazing project. They want to harness the energy produced by the fusion of atoms to help meet mankind's future energy needs. The project is known as ITER.
And on the phone now we have Sabina Griffith from the ITER project. Thank you, Sabina, for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Sabina, can you give us maybe a little bit of historical background to the ITER project, first of all?
Of course, yes. So, the ITER project was has been in people's mind for a long time. The original idea came up at the Superpower Summit in Geneva in 1986. And it was an idea which was proposed by the then leader Gorbachev, Russian leader Gorbachev, to President Reagan of the United States, to do this, to join their forces and to come up with a project called ITER to promote the idea of creating fusion energy. They were aware that none of the nations could do it alone, that it would require a lot of resources and manpower. So at the Geneva Superpowered Summit, they decided to join the forces. That's the origin of the ITER, the idea for the ITER project. And the following years, people all around the world in the various labs, universities, facilities have started to design the ITER machine, to sort of draw the picture of how this machine would work. And then finally, in November 2006, seven parties signed the ITER agreement that happened at the Élysée Palace in Paris. And so the seven parties are China, let me just get it right, China, the European Union, India, Japan, Korea, Russia, and the United States of America. And so in 2006, this agreement was signed. And that was also the time when the ITER project was physically launched in France. It's being built in France, southern France, 100 kilometers north of Marseille. The place is called Cadarache. And yes, today, September 2010, we have well advanced. The design is done. 60% of all the procurements are out. That means the big components are already being manufactured by the parties in the member states. And since the summer, we have really launched the construction of the ITER facilities. 48 buildings will have to be built on the ITER platform just out of our windows here. And yes, construction is well underway. That's where we are at the moment.
Is it accepted now, you know, as regards to technology, that nuclear fusion is the answer to the nuclear waste problem?
We will produce nuclear waste. I mean, we are a nuclear facility, and every nuclear facility produces nuclear waste. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
But in comparison to fission, what we will use in sort of as fusion fuels are deuterium and tritium. And so we have sort of two waste issues here. One is the radiation we get from the neutrons from the fusion reaction. This is a physical process. And the other thing is the tritium radiation we get from, or contamination we get from the tritium fuel. But tritium has got a half-lifetime of 12 years and not 12,000 years compared to uranium or plutonium.
Right, okay.
So when we have to take components out or when we have to replace components, we can store these components on the site in a facility called the hot cell, and we can reuse them after a certain amount of years. So we don't need these sort of caves. We don't have to look for sort of...
another site, yeah.
Yeah, storages and all this, and...
So that's going to be that's all going to be dealt with in the within the area that the actual
right. It will stay on the site,
okay,
and also
right.
There will be no proliferation issue because future fusion reactors, and this will be tested on the ITER reactor. They will produce the tritium, the fusion fuel, inside the reactor itself. There is a sophisticated technology which is called tritium breeding blanket. So inside the machine, we will breed our own tritium. So we won't have to transport plutonium or any components across the countries.
When the project is finished, how big will the power output be?
We have to make this clear. ITER will not produce any electricity. ITER is a test facility, and on ITER we will test all the big components and the technology that we have and materials,
okay,
very important, to take them the next big step to produce or to build a demonstration power plant. The project is called DEMO, Demonstration Power Plant. ITER will produce 500 megawatts of energy, but this energy will be hot air, to speak in pictures. We are not connected to the electricity grid.
Okay.
ITER is a test facility, and in parallel, we are building this demonstration reactor, and this will sort of be in a dimension that comes very close to a real power plant. And as soon as we have confirmation that we have the right technologies, the materials that can withstand the heat flow, heat fluxes, that can withstand the neutron radiation, then we will sort of take it out, implement it in demo, and it will rely very much on the will and the financial support of the governments to make this happen. Even
so
sooner.
Essentially, this is a prototype for other.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So once it's the initial prototype of this whole sort of technology, and then when you're finished, then whatever governments want to get on board. We here in Ireland, I don't think we're at a stage where we could. We're not capable of producing any. We're not big enough to actually warrant a nuclear fission or fusion plant here. But certainly in England, it would be a viable proposition. So the idea would be that if the British governments or whoever is involved, whatever particular country's government is involved, if they want to get involved in this technology, that's where they go and find out all about it.
Absolutely.
Right.
In the future.
The last thing as well I was going to ask you, Sabina, you were recently at the SOFT conference in Porto in Portugal. Yeah. And I had asked you previously as well, the opinion of young people, I presume there was a lot of young people at the conference as well. Is the opinion of young people across Europe changing towards the nuclear industry?
Oh, absolutely. We've participated in many of these conferences, and this is the Symposium of Fusion Technology, which is one of the sort of biggest fairs, technology fairs on fusion technologies. And in the past years, usually there have been 500 to 600 participants. This year, there were more than 1,200 participants. And the amount of young people we saw there was really overwhelming. And everybody, all these old senior scientists, they said, it's really overwhelming. We had one quote there from one of the technical directors of the Stellarator, Wendelstein X in Greifswald, Germany. And he said, what we see here in Portugal is the ITER generation. And ITER has certainly become a catalyst of fusion research. And there hasn't been really a big project like ITER for the last 20, 30 years. The last big fusion machine that was built on European ground was JET in Cullum, near Oxford. And recently, the Koreans and the Chinese have built superconducting tokamaks. But with ITER is really joining all the forces, all the knowledge around the world in fusion. And everybody works for this ITER project. And it has really triggered a lot of young people to sort of join the fusion track again.
Right,
and
indeed.
There are also a lot of educational programs coming up in all the member states, especially in Europe, to help young people to launch a career in fusion research. So it's very encouraging to see all this.
Now, if people want to find out information about it, can you just give us your website, Sabina, please?
Oh, yes. Let me advertise our website. Yeah. It's www.iter.org, and there you will find all the relevant information if you're interested in fusion and the ITER project. And if you don't find what you're looking for, if you don't find it there, just give us a call. Our names, emails, and telephone numbers are on the website. And we'll be very, very glad to help you to get the information you're looking for.
There, Sabina Griffith from the ITER project in France. Thank you very much for all your time. We've overstayed our welcome with you there.
Thank you, John. You're most welcome.
Πόσο απλό, πόσο εύκολο μοιάζει να προσποιούμε στο σκοτάδι και ξανά να σου λέω δεν πειράζει και να το σβήνω με ένα χάδι. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα. Τα δύσκολα θα είμαι εδώ για σένα. Το ξέρεις πια πολύ καλά αυτό. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα. Γι' αυτό να μην ακούς ποτέ κανένα. Κανείς δεν σ' αγαπάει όπως εγώ. Συννεφιά, όταν λείπεις κι αγέρας και στα όνειρα σκανδάλι ξαφνικά σαν το φως μιας ημέρας όταν επιστρέφεις πάλι. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα.
Στα δύσκολα θα είμαι εδώ για σένα. Το ξέρεις πια πολύ καλά αυτό. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα. Γι' αυτό να μην ακούς ποτέ κανένα. Κανείς δεν σ' αγαπάει όπως εγώ. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα. Στα δύσκολα θα είμαι εδώ για σένα. Το ξέρεις πια πολύ καλά αυτό. Σε μένα θα γυρνάς πάντα σε μένα. Γι' αυτό να μην ακούς ποτέ κανένα. Κανείς δεν σ' αγαπάει όπως εγώ.
All the way from Greece, that's Nikos Veritas with a track called Se Mena. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Sabina Griffiths from the ITER project in southern France. A very, very special thank you to Ava Rutzel and her guest this week, Estella Torres, for joining us on the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. Or you can text us on 087-977-1032. Don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and also links to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.